You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We're in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount off everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just enter the code ZP10 upon checkout to get your discount. Also check out their new club range, new hats, new t-shirts, all fantastic. We are also still sponsored by Manscaped Male Grooming Products. When you use the code ZEROPUCKS20, all caps, all one word, 20 at the end, ZEROPUCKS20, you get 20% off and free shipping on everything from manscaped.com. Be a little bit at the end of the episode about all of their products. And we are also on the Sports Social Podcast Network, the biggest sports podcast network in Europe, boasting some of the other top hockey podcasts, such as British Ice Hockey Elite, A View from the Bridge, and us. Right, this is episode 97. I'm Ben. Welcome to Zero Pucks Given. Well, what a weekend. The playoff quarterfinals sees all eight teams in action. Drama and entertainment is 100% guaranteed. Firstly, some news. And unfortunately, there were a couple of suspensions from last week's games. In Victor Dynamo's, Brandon Chard received four games, two for boarding, two for reaching 10 penalty points. Slough Jets' Ty Cathcart received six games for an illegal check to the head. And Chelmsford Chieftains' Kieran Rayner receives four games, two for fighting and two for leaving the bench during an altercation. So unfortunately for those three gentlemen, their seasons are over and they will play no part in the postseason. Cathcart will likely be missing the opening part of next season as well. I've not seen all of the incidents, but from what I hear and read, I'm not sure all are correct. But we do understand that the Department of Player Safety will have new people in charge next year. It will have an overhaul and hopefully stop those decisions ending up being the most discussed thing from the weekend, as the game should be the most discussed thing. It shouldn't be about the disciplinary decisions. In other news, across the league, across the Britain division, Invicta Dynamo's Aaron Strawson has announced his retirement from ice hockey, and the Moes have now retired the number 61 jersey. It will be hanging alongside Anthony Leone's number 29 in the rafters at the stables, so a massive congratulations to Aaron Strawson. Solent Devils player Drew Campbell has also announced his retirement from the game. Drew was the oldest player in the NIHL structure this year and holds some club records such as third all-time in games played, first all-time in goals and second all-time in assists, second all-time in points. So a massive congratulations as well to Drew Campbell. After the end of the regular season, then the stats have all been updated on nihlstats.wordpress.com. A massive thanks to Joe Scutts for another season of impeccable work. So let's have a look at some of the top tens from the season and we'll just do a little run of the top three. So we'll start with points. Leading the way with 71 points, Slough Jets' Jack Goodchild. A great season as a part of the Holy Trinity. Just 4 points behind his Romford Buccaneers, Brindley Caps. What a season for this young man. 16 years old and absolutely smashing it in his first senior season, both in the Britain and in the National. And in third, life in the old dog yet, another consistent season for Invicta Dynamo's Stanaro Laszczyk, 66 points. In goals, the top three were Brindley Caps with 41 goals, followed by the spearhead of the Jets' Holy Trinity, Sebi Moore, with 37, and then Jack Goodchild with 34. Top three in the assists in the Britain division were the evergreen Stanaro Laszczyk with 42, followed by Jack Goodchild with 37, and in third, another productive season for Ollie Baldock at Chelmsford Chieftains with 30. At the other end of the ice in the pipes, top three goalies by save percentage are Streatham Redhawks' Danny Milton with 0.947, followed by Invicta Dynamo's Owen Ryder with 0.922. Owen did face more shots than any other goalkeeper as well. And in third, Solent Devils' Aaron Taylor with 0.910. If you would like to see all of the top tens for everything from top scoring D-men to which players are most effective on the power play, head to nihlstats.wordpress.com, which is your number one source for all of the stats and facts from the NIHL, WNIHL and juniors systems across the UK. Well, with all of the news out of the way, the most exciting weekend of the season so far, the playoff quarterfinals. Unfortunately, due to a lack of ice time, Milton Keynes Thunder are unable to host the Streatham Redhawks on Saturday, so that tie goes to a one-game winner-takes-all quarterfinal. And that is where we will start, at the High Road, as first faces eighth. So with this being down to a one-game shootout, you'd think the MK Thunder would try and hold it tight for as long as they possibly could. Well, they did a little better and forced a power play early on when Miles sat for slashing, but on the power play, the home side took the lead when Burnett assisted Benny Lee Newman for 1-0 on 5:49 shorthanded goal. Burnett was on the assists again when Jared Lane celebrated his birthday weekend with a goal to make it 2-0 on 8:42. George Howe then sat for high sticks on 9:18 for the Thunder, and the Redhawks' top point scorer got in on the act as Lane and Watt assisted Ziggy Beasley for 3-0 on 9:54 power play goal. Beasley and Watt were at it again when they assisted Luke Brittle on 12:17 for 4-0. A close call for Milton after a 2-on-1 break from MK saw his crossbar take a beating, but up the other end, Burnett and Beasley with their third points of the night assisted captain Ryan Watt for 5-0 on 14:59. Luke Brittle netted his second on 17:26, assisted by Lane and Ely Newman for 6-0. And in the final seconds of the first, Toombs assisted Josh Martin for 7-0 on 19:46. Into the second, and the onslaught continued as Toombs assisted Brandon Miles for 8-0 on 21:14. Jared Lane netted his second, assisted by Skokan and Ely Newman, to make it 9-0 on 25:41. After a brief hiatus in the scoring, the Redhawks hit double figures when Lane and Miles assisted Ben Ely Newman for his second on 33:28. And it was braces virtually all round when Brittle and Beasley assisted Ryan Watt for 11-0 on 35:06. Luke Brittle sat for interference on 35:42, but again the Thunder were caught short as Lane and Skokan assist Ben Ely Newman for his hat-trick and 12-0 on 36:58, short-handed goal. On the buzzer, Akin receives two for holding, meaning the host would start the third on the penalty kill. The Thunder avoided a third consecutive shorty, but after George Howe went to the box again, this time for holding on 46:20, Luke Brittle completed his hat-trick assisted by Beasley and Lane on 47:02, power play goal. As the tie winded to a close, and a finishing goal of the night came from one of Streatham's most consistent performers this year, as Martin and Skokan assisted JJ Pitchley to make it 14-0 on 55:46. Austin and Watt received 5-minute fighting penalties after a fight that signified the end of the game. Ben Painter says his unhappiness at the one-legged tie, and although out of their control, he's happy to see his boys progress, but not overly happy at the one-legged nature of it. But they've certainly earned their place to be top of the table this season and take their place at the Southern Finals in Ali Pali. The next quarter-final sees second play eighth, but due to ice availability, it's the other way round, with Chieftains forfeiting their Sunday night home advantage, so host the City Stars on the Saturday. A short roster for the Stars, missing Czech and Pentecost through ineligibility, plus others through suspension and injury. The hosts at full strength, of course, minus the suspended Pickering and Rayner. The City Stars got on the front foot and forced a slashing penalty on 40 seconds as Alan Lack took a seat for 2 minutes. But just 6 seconds into the power play, a shot from Mitchell was tipped in by Matt Lauder at close range, scoring on his brother for the second week in a row and putting the Stars into a surprise lead on 46 seconds. Chelmsford's heads were spinning and a few stern words were being had from the bench. Chances were coming thick and fast for the home side, but Ross Miller was equal to all. On 13-14, a breakdown the left from Damon Porter saw him obstructed whilst trying to get a shot off, leaving Evans with no choice but to call for a penalty shot. Porter dusted himself to go mono a mono with Miller, but the Welshman outfoxed the Canadian to keep the score 1-0. With the home side continuing to apply the pressure, and it finally paid off when Grant Bartlett swept the puck into Lee Jameson in the slot, who sat Miller down and finished for 1-1 on 17-21. First point in the playoffs for Lee Jameson, who finished third in the highest scoring D-man charts. The home side pushed for a quick turnaround, but Ross Miller was really the difference between the two sides. Into the second, and Oxford again started on the front foot, forcing Lauder into some smart saves, but the home side upped the physicality level and forced ahead when Cam Bartlett and Lack fed Grant Bartlett down the right, who smashed into the near top corner over Miller's shoulder for 2-1 on 24-37. As the Chieftains looked to exert their dominance on their visitors, Jay King was caught in possession at the blue line by Bundock, poking through for Matt Lauder to go 1-on-1 with Jordan Lauder and finish incredibly well, making it 2-2 on 28-25. If you listen to this week's episode with Jordan Lauder, you know that that meant that Matt wouldn't be getting a lift home. However, the tied game didn't last long as Chelmsford pinned Oxford into their defensive zone, allowing Porter and Barnes-Garner to feed Ben Russell on the short side, who fizzed one into the bottom corner for 3-2 on 29-58. As Chelmsford continued to pin Oxford in, they extended their lead when Jameson and King working the puck along the blue line allowed King to shoot from the point, seeing it tipped in by Alan Lack for 4-2 on 31-54. After the restart, the Chieftains were on the power play where Marcus Mitchell sat for two for tripping on 32-24. Smart power play work from the Chieftains, working the puck from side to side and back to the blue line, opened a gap for a cracking one-timer from Cam Bartlett from the left circle, assisted by Jameson and Porter, making it 5-2 on 33-22, power play goal. The remainder of the second saw Lack, Porter and Baldock all have great chances, but Ross Miller at times was literally standing on his head. The Stars had a power play chance when Lack was called for high sticks on 37-27, but they were unable to break Chelmsford down. Into the third, and the Chieftains got up and running quickly when the Bartlett brothers laid on the assist as Alan Lack tipped in another goal in front of Miller, making it 6-2 on 41 flat. The lead was extended further when great work from Huggett forcing his way through led to TJ Fillery picking up the pieces and tucking home for 7-2 on 47-04. Shortly after, it was 8 when good possession play by Barnes-Garner and Porter ended up with Dan Hitchens at the blue line, who smashed a long-range effort past Ross Miller for 8-2 on 49-17. A bit of fisticuffs between Lack and Mitchell saw a bit of a pile-on, but nothing came of it. Shortly after, the Chieftains scored again when good work by Jameson fed the puck to Grant Bartlett, who finished well after Miller's attention was distracted by great positioning from Alan Lack, 9-2 on 51-50. The game was over a few minutes later when Fillery and Fay assisted Sasha Maltsev, who deked inside and wrong-footed Miller with a great finish for 10-2 on 54-32. Man of the match performances from Matt Lauder and Dan Hitchings as an 8-goal advantage for the Chieftains, and one would expect a professional performance at the Oxpens on Sunday. Again, the numbers short for the home side as the fans pile into the Oxford Ice Arena for the final time this season, as the Chieftains arrive looking for the professional performance that will see them through to the Britain Finals. The hosts found themselves on the penalty kill when captain Dax Hedges sat for two for interference on 4-43, but just when the Stars returned to full strength, the Chieftains took the lead when Grant Bartlett went unassisted on 6-44, making it 1-0 on the night, 11-2 overall. The rest of the period saw Miller in the same impressive form as he was in on Saturday. The second period saw both sides hit the pipes early on before Chelmsford extended their lead when King and Jameson assisted Ollie Baldock to make it 2-0 on 24-47. Matt Lauder received 2 minutes for tripping on 30-52 and Chelmsford forced chance after chance before one was eventually converted by Sasha Maltsev with Barnes-Garner and Baldock on the assists as the Chieftains make it 3-0 on 31-43 power play goal. Now 13-2 overall. A few minutes later, it was 4 when Grant Bartlett and Jameson assisted Cameron Bartlett on 34-23. into the third, and after a change in nets for Chelmsford, it was a quick start by the Chieftains. After clanging the iron, they got one in off the pipes as Grant Bartlett became the fifth different scorer of the evening, assisted by Porter and Jameson, making the score 5-0 on the night and 15-2 overall on 41-19. The Chieftains captain added himself to the score sheet with the sixth goal of the night, assisted by the Bartlett brothers, making it 6-0 on 49-05. Shortly after, Sasha Maltsev grabbed his second of the game, assisted by King and Huggett, making it 7-0 on the night, 17-3 overall on 52-35. And Cameron Bartlett added his second, assisted by Porter, on 54-01, making it 8-0. The hosts then pulled one back when Bundock poked through to Dax Hedges to poke the puck past Dominic Ray for 8-1. The Stars then got a penalty shot, but Matt Lauday was unable to convert. So 8-1, the final score in Chelmsford into the Southern Finals. And let's see who they will face as we head to the Sapphire. The third quarter-final sees third play six as the Slough Jets headed to Romford for the first leg with the Buccaneers. A replay of last year's quarter-final that was absolutely brimming with drama, and this year it was no different. An even start to the game, nerves possibly playing a part for both sides, but the Buccaneers had a power play opportunity when Jacob Soper sat for charging on 7:26. The Jets managed to kill the penalty off, but immediately after returning to full strength, then fell behind when Maguire and Walmore assisted Sam Robinson to make it 1-0 on 9:32. Both teams swapped penalties towards the end of the period after Slough took a bench penalty for too many men on 16:44. However, Elliot Dervish took a seat on 17:40, making it 4-on-4. Into the second, and again an even start, until Seb Moore assisted Liam Clark, making it 1-1 on 26:12. The Jets completed the turnaround after the halfway mark, and Clark and Soper assisted Connor Redmond to make it 2-1 on 34:45. The end of the second was fraught with penalties for both sides. Campbell for goalie interference for Romford, Harmon for Slough for roughing, Hill for roughing, Goodchild for slashing, Campbell again for fighting, and Spittle for tripping. With all that going on and the teams even-handed, Romford beat the buzzer when Hill assisted Brindley Capps for 2-2 on 39:59, causing a bit of a kerfuffle that saw English and Spittle sit for 5 for fighting and 2 for roughing for Slough. Whilst joined by Taylor and Campbell for Romford with 5 for fighting and 2 for roughing respectively. All bang on 40 minutes. Into the third, and it was a rapid start as the Jets retook the lead when Seb Moore and Clark assisted Dylan Holliker to make it 3-2 on 40:07. However, the lead didn't last long as Romford hit back when Hill and Kazaks assisted Brindy Catch for 3-3 on 43:02. The Jets retook the lead when Goodchild assisted this year's top scoring D-man Jacob Minter for 4-3 on 49:13. But the Bucks were on the power play when Hemmings Mayer sat for tripping on 54:31, and whilst applying the pressure, Jason Buckman called the timeout and gave a rousing speech to his boys that clearly had the desired effect as Hill assisted Nathan Long for 4-4 on 55:40. The Buccaneers kept the pressure on their visitors and took the lead when Walmore assisted Donald Campbell for 5-4 on 57:59. The home side spent the final 90 seconds on the penalty kill after Joe Tamarlin was called for high sticks on 58:21, but 5-4 was how it remained. A one-goal advantage for the Bucks to take to the hangar on Sunday night. Sunday night in Slough saw a little bit of the feistiness carry over from the Sapphire as Timo Lindgren got an early penalty for kneeing on 1:32. There was one from each in the box soon after when Harmon and Robinson both sat for roughing on 4:34. But when Taylor went in for boarding on 8:10, the Jets made it a tied game when Christian Moore and Goodchild assisted Jacob Minter to make it 1-0 on 9 flat, 5-5 on aggregate. Into the second, and the Jets came flying out to take the lead in the tie. Smittle and Soper assisted Timo Lindgren to make it 2-0 on 20:10, now 6-5 on aggregate. The home side continued their onslaught and made it 3-0 when Clark assisted Jack Goodchild on 21:04 as the visitors shook off the opening 60 seconds of the second period. They pulled one back when Kazaks and Artem assisted Ewan Hill for 3-1 on 22:37, bringing them back within one goal. With chances at both ends, it took until the final minutes of the second for another goal, as Harmon assisted Jack Goodchild for his second 38:11, making it 4-1 on the night, 8-6 overall. Into the third, and it was the home side that lit the fuse. After Hill sat for tripping, an immediate goal as Jacob Minter notched his second, assisted by the Moore brothers on 45:01, power play goal. Further penalties for both Smittle and Tamarlin when their disagreement ended in 5 minutes each. and time will tell whether Dops gets involved. The Bucks also had a skater take a seat when Sonny Phillips was given two for slashing on 46-31. More penalties followed when Harmon and Robinson both received two for unsportsmanlike conduct on 49-29. We had a small period of 5-on-3 after Carl Bradburn sat for hooking on 50-flat, followed by Seb Moore for holding the stick on 50-21, then followed by Donald Campbell for holding on 51-06. Once everyone had returned to the ice, some more work for Team Zebra, as Slough saw Lindgren and Bradburn with 5 for charging and 2 for roughing respectively, as well as Taylor for Romford with 2 for roughing, all on 54-17. A further Bucks penalty for Wilson on 57-40 as he sat for hooking, but with both sides even-handed, the Jets put the tie to bed and sent the Buccaneers sailing back to Essex when Soper and Minter assisted Lewis English on 58-29. That wasn't quite the end of the festivities, though, as a few tempers flared at 59-43, as Romford saw Campbell receive 2 for roughing, Walmore received 2+2 for roughing and cross-checking, while Slough saw Erskine receive 2 for cross-checking, whilst Hemmingsmeyer and Smittle both received 10 for misconduct. Again, time will tell as to whether we see the accused at Ali Pally next week. After the weekend's games, Bucks coach Jason Buckman shared his thoughts on the Bucks season and their playoff pursuits from a very serene setting.
Yeah, great weekend of playoff hockey. Two really competitive ties played out. Fortunately, we didn't do enough to get through to Ali Pally. I certainly felt we were the better team over the 6 periods of hockey. Saturday, we dominated large parts of the game. And with that, Slough resorted to the usual ways, which is unfortunate because, literally said in the papers last week, I hope we get a strong referee who understands the game, understands hockey and how teams play. And that's been the same all year with them. Sunday in Slough, he completely lost control of the game. And when the tie is as close as it was and the team is trying to push it to the end, you just don't get the opportunity when cheap plays get rewarded with non-calls. It's unfortunate, really. Slough obviously have some talented players, but I think with the weakness of the referee and not having control of the game, there's some plays and players that lack real class in those moments, and it's disappointing. And gets backed up by their coach, who they look up to. Such an important stage and in their young careers. It probably says a lot more about him and the professionalism in the game taught to these young guys moving forward. For me, really couldn't be prouder of my Bucks team. Especially the young guys this year in their first full senior season. Bryn, Joe, Arts, Megas, they've all had a real good breakout year. We've had our ups and downs in the season, like every team this year, but we showed some real class and handled ourselves really well over the weekend up against what we saw, and I can't thank our guys enough. We have some fantastic foundations for the future. I want to go on record and thank Ben and Zero Pucks Given for having me on all year. Giving me some final journey listening. It's been a pleasure.
The final quarterfinal was labelled by everyone as a toss of a coin. Two teams with virtually identical records throughout the season, but Solent have had the better of the fixtures between themselves and the Dynamos this season. The first leg at the Stables in Gillingham, and it was the home side for the better of the early exchanges, as they took the lead on 4:27, when O'Neill and Laming assisted Mad Stone to make it 1-0. Laming and O'Neill were at it again just after the 10th minute, as they assisted Ruskin Springer Hughes to make it 2-0 on 10:55, a dream start for the boys in grey. However, within a minute, Solent Devils pulled one back, Lackey assisting Mark Pitts to make it 2-1 on 11:40. The Moes killed off a Dan Scott interference penalty, before seeing Richie Harris get 2+2 for roughing and charging on 19:25, meaning more than 3 minutes to kill at the start of the second. And it was only 16 seconds into the second period before the equaliser came, as Cole and Pitts assisted Alex Murray to make it 2-2 on 20:16. Some deliberations from the home players as to the credibility of the goal, but Team Zebra decided it is indeed a tied game. Chances at either end, but the game erupted as the second drew to a close, when Kane Russell boarded Ollie Bronerman, seeing them both at the bottom of a pylon, that saw Murray pulling a player out, O'Neill seemingly prepared to fight, although I don't think he really did in the end. The outcome was 5+2 for O'Neill for fighting an aggressor, 5+ game for Bronnyman for fighting, and 2 minutes for Solent's Kane Russell for boarding. Although Russell was stretched off after the incident at 39:03, all the best for a quick recovery to Kane. The game was 4-3 at the start of the third, and Solent took the advantage when Osman assisted Alex Murray for 3-2 Solent on 40:48 power play goal. With 10 minutes remaining, Carl Lennon called his time out to rouse his troops, who found themselves on the power play when Steve Osman received 2 for delay of game at 55:04. And with the man advantage, Scott assisted Stan Olaszczyk, who finished past Taylor to make it 3-3 on 55:17 power play goal. However, straight from the restart, the visitors rallied and retook the lead when Murray assisted Dan Lackey to make it 4-3 on 55:36. That was the final score. A fitting tribute to man of the match Aaron Strawson after the game, and it's all back to the South Coast to get this one finished off on Sunday. For Sunday night's game, we've got something a little bit special, as the game was taken in by our good friend from Banners on the Wall, Anthony Russell.
Greetings everyone in Zero Pucks Given Land, Anthony Russell here from Banners on the Wall, and I was live at the Gosport Ice Arena for the South 1 playoff quarterfinal second leg between the Soden Devils and the Invicta Dynamos. The Devils leading this encounter by 4-3 after the first leg as the teams relocated from Kent down to the South Coast, and a noisy contingent of Invicta fans joining their team here in Hampshire. It was the Dynamos who had the better start overall, more play, more of the puck, more of the possession. But ultimately, they were stung, and stung quickly, but during the midway point of the first period. Alex Cole was teed up by Alex Murray for a blast that went through Owen Ryder, and then just 18 seconds later, it was 2. Steve Osman taking the pass from Jack Peacock, and the initial shot took a huge deflection off of Ryder before flipping up and over the netminder, hitting him in the back and crossing the line, making it 2-0 after just 8 minutes and 50 seconds. Eventually, though, the Dynamos would get themselves back into it just a few minutes later. Regan O'Neill sat in the box for high sticks, and some great work by Mads Toon and James Laming, resulting in a shorthanded goal for the visitors. 2-1 with 12 minutes and 9 seconds gone, and it meant that the Dynamos had a little bit of hope as it got to the end of the first period. However, the Devils would eventually turn on the style. They were clinical throughout, but it was a spectacular goal that ended up putting the Devils into the lead further and eventually out of sight. Drew Campbell, in what was his final game in Gosport for the Devils ahead of his retirement that was announced at the end of the game, scoring literally from the seat of his pants down on the ice, and managed to hook the puck back around himself and past Ryder into the net as the defenseman was trying to skate away with it. A superb bit of skill from the oldest active player in the NIHL. The Devils then would push on and increase their lead, a Liam Coleman shot finding its way past Ryder, making it 4-1 to the Devils after just 25 minutes. The Dynamos, though, they didn't give up. They kept pushing, they kept pressing, but the play got more and more desperate. The structure, less and less. Things were not going their way, and they just kept making mistakes. Another penalty against them, and this time for Cole Lennon, called for slashing after he retaliated after a hit from Dan Lackey. And it was the coach himself, Murray, who would put things out of sight before the end of the second period. Cole this time turned provider for his coach to blast one from the top of the point past Ryder into the net. 5-1 at the end of the second, and well, it was always going to be an uphill struggle for the Kent-based side from there. Penalties on the way, but eventually late goals sealing the deal. Cole getting his second of the night again, a power play goal teed up by Murray for another blast from the left point. And then a very late goal with just 2 seconds left on the clock. Charlie Wedge feeding Luke Forsyth, setting him away in behind the defence to make it 7-1 on the night, and ultimately a massive, massive aggregate win of 11-4 for the Solent Devils over the Invicta Dynamos. The last games, certainly as we're told, for Aaron Strawson, his career ends as a result of the Dynamos being knocked out of the playoffs. And as it was announced at the end of the game, Drew Campbell will retire from the Devils after the playoff finals weekend. We say thank you to them for their contributions to British hockey. All in all, though, A very, very sad way to end the season for Invicta. The game had so much promise, and they had initially some very, very good, solid ideas. It was wave after wave of pressure. But it was, and I have to say this having watched them a little bit over the last couple of years, the most controlled and calm performance I've seen from a Solent Devils side in some time. They didn't get themselves overly involved in the rough stuff. They did not get themselves suckered into anything. And ultimately, it was Invicta who made all of the mental mistakes. As they needed more goals and they needed to push harder, their structure got less, their ability to control the game got less, and it was a lot of working very hard, but not very smart. Shots were not getting through to Taylor, and the ones that were getting through were either snagged out of the air or were made to potentially to look better than they were by Taylor flashing the glove at them. The Devils, well, they do set themselves up with a very tough tie. They will face Streatham in the first semi-final of the South 1 playoffs at Alexandra Palace next weekend. Obviously, Streatham not having the toughest of tests against MK, but if Sutton can play like they played in this game, they will have a chance in that game. It will be on bigger ice. It will obviously not be within the confines of what they're used to in Gosport. But this, like I said, the thing for Sutton at times is that they've lost their heads and lost their concentration and their focus at key moments in a game where they really needed to be on their ball and be focused in, laser focused in. They managed to find a way to do so. Either way, it is Solent who have earned themselves a place at Alexandra Palace for the Southern playoff weekend. The season ends for Invicta. Final score from the Gosport Arena: Solent Devils 7, Dynamos 1. Devils win by 11-4 on aggregate. And I'll send you back to Ben.
After that enthralling two-legged tie, the victorious player coach Alex Murray gave his thoughts to ZPG.
Obviously, we're in the business end of the season now with the quarterfinals this weekend just gone. And after our fourth place finish, you know, we drew up against the Invicta Dynamos, which I think, as I said in my pre-game notes, we were quietly confident about, given we had gone 4-4 in them in the league. I think their style just kind of suits how we play. We're a similar type of team to them. And, yeah, we just feel like we can match them and you know, we were able to kind of express ourselves a little bit more on a team that has a similar style to us. And going into the weekend, we had our first leg in Invicta, which, you know, I think the plan was to come in, coming away from that game, you know, up or even, because playing on home ice is so important to us in terms of an advantage. And the guys didn't disappoint. I think we played a great game, even though Invicta, credit to them, came out all guns blazing. They had a great home crowd with lots of atmosphere and took an early two-goal lead. We were a little bit shell-shocked. I'm sure you've seen on the socials that we lost Callum in warm-up just to a stray puck catching him, and he had to get off to the emergency department, which kind of, you know, made everyone a little bit, you know, on edge. And then we lost Kane midway through the second through to, again, being knocked unconscious. So it was a strange game, but the guys held in there. And we always talk about this next man up mentality, and that's what happened. And we got back in the game and took the lead. And yeah, even though they pulled a quick power play goal back with last check, we were able to respond pretty quickly after that and take home a 4-3 first leg win. And then at home, I think the guys really turned up. It was an incredible performance, probably our most complete performance of the season, other than conceding a power, you know, a shorthanded goal, which we've only done once before this year. It really should have been a 7-0 victory, but a slight mistake on our power play, you know, gave them a goal. But as I mentioned, their crowd, their team never gave up fighting. They had a incredible weekend themselves. But obviously, as a team, I just think we've played our best hockey so far this season, last weekend, and we're really excited to now progress on and take on Streatham, who we haven't managed to beat this year. So there's no better time now than the semi-finals. We've got, you know, the likes of Drew Campbell, Scott Cooper, you know, retiring from the sport. And so it will be a nice little send-off if we can get this semi-final out, you know, through the semi-final, then look towards that final on Sunday. We're going to give it all we can and hopefully give our support something to cheer about.
And after the Dynamo season comes to an end before the final weekend, Carl Lennon also shared his thoughts.
I'll start by congratulating Alex and his team. I mean, it's fair to say that across the weekend they got the better of us and were deserving of their place in the semi-finals. I do strongly feel, though, that the results both days were heavily influenced by some of the outrageous decisions by the referee, Mr. Thrower. I'm honestly not one to dwell too much on officials, and I try to be extremely respectful of their decisions. But this is now the third year in a row consecutively where we've been at the wrong end of some of his unexplainable calls, resulting in all three occasions in our exit. there was goals that were wrongly given when a puck went out of play down in Bristol. We had the situation of a missed goal last year against Solent in the semi-final at Milton Keynes. And then on Saturday, we were given, you know, a five-minute major, five-on-three penalty kill, which, you know, really changed the whole momentum of the fixture. We were at the point leading then. And it just feels very unjust and unfair. And then we were littered throughout the game yesterday with two-minute minor penalties. I think we served around about 20 minutes across the game, which, you know, for me was not right. So that's us done, and I'm extremely disappointed not to be at the finals this weekend coming. But as always, that means that there's still much work to be done here. So I'd like to offer a special mention to our own Aaron Strawson and to Drew Campbell of Solent. Both of them had a fantastic send-off in their home rinks this weekend. So congratulations to both of you on your great careers. It's been a pleasure to play against and, of course, coach and play with Strauss. And the game will be less as a result of you guys leaving it, but, of course, they'll leave the memories with us. So, yeah, congrats to both those guys. And I can only say to you guys, Zero Pucks Given, thanks very much for the coverage across the season. It's greatly appreciated. And, yeah, wish you all the best and an enjoyable summer. Cheers.
Well, the quarterfinals in the Britain are over and done with. Let's have a little look at the player of the week.
Hi, it's Justin Wong, Kenny Wu from the Muddy Ducks, presenting Zero Pucks Given Britain Division Player of the Week.
This week's player of the week in the Britain Division. Well, he took control of both games this weekend, not just showing his scoring flair, but his build-up play and his team mentality, scoring four goals, notching three assists in a double win weekend that saw his side progress to the Britain Finals. After missing the showpiece the last time his team qualified through injury, this week's Player of the Week is Chelmsford Chieftains' Grant Bartlett. Let's have a look at the Wilkinson Division quarters then, as we are, of course, sharing the weekend with the South 2 teams as well, and some cracking ties in the knockouts there. Guildford Phoenix qualified, already won the league and the cup. They had a one-game tie with the Solent Devils, with a 9-0 victory going to Guildford. Peterborough Phantoms, also in a one-game tie, qualified, beating Cardiff 5-4, incredibly close game. The Basingstoke Buffalo are doing their bit for the RG22 crew as they qualify after a 3-2 home win and a 4-2 away win against Bristol Pitbulls 2. And the Haringey Huskies make the finals on their home ice. After losing 5-2 at home to the Mustangs, a 4-1 win in Gillingham saw them force overtime, then a shootout, where they eventually made it through. So the lineup for the Southern Finals at Alexandra Palace next week is as follows. Timings probably subject to slight changes, but 9 a.m. doors will open. 10:30 a.m. we'll see Guildford Phoenix versus Basingstoke Buffalo. 1:30 we'll see Streatham Redhawks take on the Solent Devils. 5 p.m. we'll see the Haringey Huskies face the Peterborough Phantoms 2. And finally, 7:30 to 8 p.m. ish, Chelmsford Chieftains versus Slough Jets. What an incredible day of hockey that's going to be. The Saturday is worth the ticket fee alone. And of course, if you cannot make it to the Palace, where I believe there are still a couple of tickets available, we're just awaiting the final details on the stream being available for the entire weekend. A massive thank you to you all for listening. Thank you to the coaches for providing their thoughts throughout the season. I said a personal thank you to them, but yeah, it really is a massive, massive thank you to getting that in. Either myself or Josh will be getting the pre-match thoughts of the coaches from Ali Pally. Of course, a thank you to Hockey Art Co for Manscapes and Sports Social Podcast Network for being part of the Zero Pucks Given family. Make sure you're following on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, X, Threads, Snapchat, and TikTok. And of course, you can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Later this week, I'll be catching up with the Chieftains head coach, Lewis Clifford. So be sure not to miss that one, Chieftains fans. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Mother's Day is around the corner.
Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey guys, it's Ben from Zero Pucks Given. We've had our sponsorship with Manscaped extended by 1 month, so you've got one more month to get your 20% off and free shipping on all of Manscaped products from Manscaped.com. As you can see from this before picture, I know I look like someone who used to be in good shape. I'm a little bit of a gorilla. I'm quite a hairy guy. So I took the Lawnmower 5.0 into the shower, and then with the interchangeable head, you take the long hair off with the clipper head, you flick it off for the razor head, and then you take the short hair off. And considering how hairy I am, this is the outcome. I think that's pretty darn good. Of course, once you're there, you look like a bit of a plucked chicken, and you kind of go all the way down, use the skin-safe razor blade, the clipper blade, and that downstairs to get all of that cleared off. And then when you're done, you use the crop soother and the crop preserver, which is like a deodorant for your balls. Stops any of that sweating, any of that chafing, if you're sort of driving a lot, sitting in a van all day or something like that. Or even if you're being active, going to the gym or training or anything fitness-wise, it stops from all of that rubbing and chafing, particularly when you wear the Manscaped boxers that are also in the picture, as they've got a nice sort of silk pouch at the front, which keeps you all feeling nice and fresh. So then after that, I've used the weed whacker to get all the hairs around from up my nostrils and in my ears, which as you get older, trust me, they all start to appear out of nowhere. And then I've used my moisturisers with a little bit of Bulldog stuff, actually, to just on my head after I've shaved that with a razor blade. You can get a Manscaped beard trimmer as well, which is something I'm definitely going to look at. It's got a lot of different attachments on it, so you can sort of do the lines in your beard and sort of skin fade it down, which is a really, really good product. I'm hoping I might get hold of one of them quite soon. So yeah, I think these products are absolutely brilliant. I do not put my name to anything that I don't like, and as you can see, I use them and I think they're great. So use the code ZEROPUCKS20, manscaped.com.
Podcast Network.